Yeah, I would, just saying that, that game last night in the series has been like really physical, and I think people thought, well, can Vegas kind of match LA? It's like, yeah, they can, and then it kind of went across that line a few times, I thought.
Yes, it did. It was a bit of a street fight last night, and there's a lot been made over there's been a lot of hits in this series. In fact, through the first two games, it was the most hits through two games of an opening round series since they started tracking hits in either 06 or 07. So it's been over 10 years since that was a stat, and the first two games in the series were the most. Now, both coaches were kind of saying, yeah, well, some of the hits that were called hits, they thought that maybe the counts inside the T-Mobile Arena may have been a little inflated. But having said that, make no mistake, they were two very physical games, and last night was the same thing, very much so, as LA really tried to lean on Vegas. And these are games that a lot of people would have thought maybe Las Vegas could not win. We knew they could score. We knew they were good and deep and fast and would prey on turnovers, but they were not known as a really overly physical team. That was not a real part of their DNA through the course of the regular season. But lo and behold, here they are, taking punches in the mouth and pushing back hard. James Neal had 8 hits last night and a key goal that got them really kick-started there to really end it there in the third period. So they are standing up to the big, bullies of the Los Angeles Kings, a team that has twice the amount of playoff experience and all those Stanley Cup rings up and down their roster. There's several guys still remaining from the 2014 Cup and several guys who were on both Stanley Cup teams in 12 and 14. So this has been an impressive performance here by Vegas. This story just keeps on going. And if you have not seen a lot of Vegas, and maybe you're just kind of catching up and watching them here, I think everybody is going, wow, this is not only is it for real, I think we all figured out they were for real, months ago during the course of the regular season, but this is another level of impressive for a group that didn't exist this time last year.
Well, exactly. And the thing is with the Kings, they get some help back. They get Drew Doughty back from suspension. They get Jake Muzzin back. And after that goaltending performance from Jonathan Quick on Friday night, which was one of the best ones I've seen, like he was unreal and made some incredible saves. And they thought, okay, well, they're going to be home. They're going to have in the last change. They're going to have that momentum. But there's just another test for the Golden Knights. It's like, okay, well, we've got to get our expansion draft. Okay, well, we're going to have our first preseason game. Okay, and they just keep, these tests just keep coming up to these guys, and they're going, yeah, okay, so here's your first road playoff game. And they didn't panic, and Fleury made a couple big saves. It goes 2-0. I don't know if we're talking about the same thing, but Dave, they just seem to keep answer whatever, LA would give them, they had an answer for.
Mm-hmm. First of all, Gerard Gallant and all the Vegas Golden Knights players, they will tell you, they stopped thinking of themselves as an expansion team a long time ago. They really did. That's the rhetoric, that's the storyline, that's the headline of this great run through this season and now into the postseason. But in that room, they just now consider themselves a good team, and they're playing exactly like that. And, we can talk about that in a second, but to your point about passing all the tests, you're right, because Los Angeles, Jonathan Quick was the reason that they were even in those two games, in games 1 and 2 in Vegas, particularly the one that went 95 minutes into double overtime, almost into triple overtime. He was outstanding, and the Kings really, were slower. They were a step behind for the most part in both of those games. The pace and the depth of Vegas just kept coming at them in waves. And as you mentioned, when you're missing Drew Doughty and Jake Muzzin and Derek Forwards, three of your top 6 defensemen, including your entire top pair, obviously that's a problem for any team and a huge problem when you're considering that Drew Doughty is one of the best in the business. So they get him back and Muzzin back last night, and they go from a decor on Friday that had 4 guys with a combined experience total of 5 games to, you get a couple of rings back in your lineup, and that helps. They put the 70s line back together with Pearson, Carter, and Toffoli, a line that has not played a whole lot together this season, but Stevens, in case of emergency, break glass. You know, he goes back to a line he knows he can probably get something out of. They were better tonight, but, you know, Jeff Carter, in my mind, is struggling to really kind of be a dominant player. I thought Kopitar was excellent, but overall, they had a great push last night, and they responded with easily their best game, and it ends up not being enough. And if you look at the key moments, in the third period, Vegas scores all of their goals in the third. They get one early on, and then they get two in 21 seconds to kind of seal the deal. And it's that third one, which ends up being the winner by William Karlsson. Neil has just scored. So Neil comes off the wall, beats Quick five-hole. It's not the greatest goal to give, but Quick has been so good to this point in the series. And Neil's, you know, James Neal can shoot the puck, so it's okay. So that happened. 21 seconds later, there's a face-off to the left of Quick. You got Muzzin out there. You got Doughty out there. This is, and Quick's in net, and you've got the top defensive team in the NHL during the course of the regular season. They allowed the fewest goals. They won the Jennings Trophy. They win the draw. Kempe pulls it back, and Riley Smith jumps on it. He puts it out to a wide-open, unchecked William Karlsson, the guy who had the third most goals in the league this season, and he taps it in. That's it. And you know, the air just came right out of the building. And that, to me, kind of, you know, epitomizes what we're seeing from Vegas. Their level of determination, their tenacity, their attention to detail, their hungriness to be alive and in the moment for all 60 minutes of regulation, anyway, is superior to that of the Kings, even their best players. And that's really, to me, you know, in a nutshell, what this series is. These guys are on point, up and down the ice. They are not rattled. We had an interview in the second intermission with James Neal. He talked to Dan Murphy. They're going into the third period, you know, Rocket Staples Center. The place is rocking, and they're down 1-0. And Neal was as calm as could be, said, "We know what's coming. We just have to match it." And they did. And they took it. And, you know, I only four teams have come back from 3-0 deficits. LA is one of them. They did it in 2014 against San Jose. But, man, we're going to have to see a major drop-off from Vegas' game to see that kind of rally here this year.
Dave, I'm not sure any of the playoff series other than this one has kind of had the nasty tone that this one has. I know that they're division rivals, you know, in the Pacific Division. But I'm not sure anyone quite expected it to get to this level. I was talking with Kelly off the air about, you know, we haven't heard anything yet about what's going to, if anything, will happen to Eric Halla. We saw Braden McNabb, a former teammate of Drew Doughty's, give him a nice little shot in the side during one of those power plays. This is maybe a series that Vegas might want to end in four games before it gets to a point where it's really nasty and has a tone for the next series, because this one's really gotten heated fast.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff below the surface. There's all kinds of scrums after the whistle, and there's been some nasty, you're right, and dirtiness, to tell you the truth. I mean, John Stevens and the Kings are furious over the Eric Halla butt end of the face of Andrei Kopitar, who, again, it must be pointed out, he played pretty much 40 minutes on Friday night and had a goal and an assist last night and had the, you know, was in on both their goals and gave them a chance. He was excellent. And a scrum in front, and Halla turns around and gives him a butt into the face. And Stevens says, you know, we get a one-game suspension for, you know, one of our best players, one of the best players in the NHL, for what he still says he's going to go to his grave saying was a hockey play. So they take their medicine on that one, and now our captain, our best forward, gets butt-ended in the face. And by all accounts, you know, I confirmed this with Elliot Friedman before I came on with you guys, it's not expected to be any supplementary discipline to Halla. And that's hard to, you know.
That seems strange, doesn't it?
Like that.
I don't get it. Like, that's like, it seems like, are they going to call it tighter now? Because they did that with Winnipeg and Minnesota. You could tell that, okay, we're going to call everything. So you wonder if game four, they are going to just be like, anything is even close to being on the board, like, bam, you're going for 2 minutes.
Start taking one out of the scrum instead of two.
You wonder.
Yeah, maybe. You know, I mean, listen, it's to watch and to experience, to be in the building, it's fun. I mean, it's nasty and dirty, you're right, but it there's a lot of edge to it, and it's the Stanley Cup playoffs. And you know, I should go on to say that in the Stevens post-game quote, he says, "I love good, hard hockey. Love, love, love it. Don't want to take any of that out." But he says that is a dirty play, and that, you know, that can't go unpunished. There was no penalty on the play, and Kopitar missed shift, and you know, we were wondering if they were, you know, if he was going to be able to come back out at one point. And so that's what's hard to take for the Kings right now. But, you know, ultimately, despite all of what we're talking about right there, it's good stuff. And the guys in our studio were saying that it's a vicious series. And a rivalry is born, no doubt, in the Pacific Division between these two. It's only a four-hour drive between the two cities. But having said that, again, you know, the bottom line is Vegas is the better team. And, you know, you just talked about all the tests that they pass and the expansion draft and on and on and on. And there's a couple of things at play here. First of all, you know, Kelly, we've talked a lot about Vegas on these hits over the course of the season. So the expansion draft is set up the way it is, and it's pretty liberal, where there are going to be good players available, no matter what. So they take advantage of that. And then there's a situation where, you know, other teams need to protect guys, so they make kind of, you know, little side deals with Anaheim, and that's how they end up with a guy like Shea Theodore. We'll make a trade for you. You get Shea Theodore, and you stay away from the rest of our defensemen because they had too many. And how good has Shea Theodore been? My goodness, 22 years of age. And we know this is a first-round draft pick, but I'm telling you right now, he has been impressive. And then, you know, he got all these other guys. Cody Egan scores last night. I happen to have had a conversation with him yesterday at the morning skate, and he talks about how a lot of guys came together and they were cast off extra parts and didn't get the opportunity, shuffled down the lineup in their, you know, their old teams. And you go up and down this Vegas lineup, several guys have had career highs. You know, the biggest example of all is William Karlsson with 43 goals. Gerard Gallant told me the other day they brought him in. They thought they were getting a defensive center. That's what he was. He had 15 goals with Columbus in the last two seasons combined. Mm-hmm. And he's got 43 this year, and he's a plus 49. Yeah. He plays every inch of the ice. So, you know, it's an amazing thing at work here. And the other little intangible that I've noticed here is how they feed off how well they've been received in the city of Vegas. All of us who've never lived there, we go into Vegas, we have a good time, we see the strip, we go to the casino and see some shows, and we limp home after four hard days, right? That's what a lot of people think of Las Vegas. But Las Vegas is a city, and they practice at this area called Summerlin, about 20 minutes up the road, and it's a gorgeous little subdivision. They've got a beautiful practice facility with nice offices and training facilities and all that. And they get 500, 600, 700 people at practice every day.
Wow.
And it's like, you know, they're rock stars. This is the first pro sports team here. They are loved, and the players are feeding off this. You guys should see their practices. The first practice I saw, it was lightning fast. And I know a lot of teams in the NHL practice fast, but these guys practice fast. I've seen lots of teams work out, and they work hard, quick. And I talked to Egan about this as well, and he says, no question about it, this is the most prepared I've been physically in my pro career. And I think it's showing. These guys are quick, and they feed off of that as well. You take it into the downtown rink, that energy that's there on a nightly basis, that's been a big part of it as well. It's driving them. And I tell you right now, San Jose, Anaheim, Winnipeg, Nashville, you better be prepared for these guys down the road because they're legit.
Can you, I know it's off nights for you, but the Anaheim-San Jose series, we've had this storyline that we wanted to talk about the Ducks, mostly because people in Calgary can't stand them because they win all the time and beat the Flames.
Yes.
So the storyline is, we want to write this story. It's like, the Ducks are old, they're showing their age. I'm not quite ready to say that just yet, but just San Jose were better. They, you know, when the opportunity knocked, they took it, and they just, you know, Ducks didn't have enough to punch back.
I am going to defer. I have not seen much of that at all. I've seen highlights. And the reason is because it's hard to, in your hotel room to down here. If you don't get NBC's SN,
you're out of luck.
Better. So I know what's happened. I know they're down 2-0. I know about the character in the Anaheim room. And San Jose just keeps on continuing to win. They've got an excellent goalie, and they've gotten some juice from Evander Kane, but I don't really feel like I'm right up to speed on what's going on there, Kelly, because okay. I've been kind of in my bubble here covering this series.
Well, how about I ask you one off of what we've talked about with the expansion team of Vegas then, Dave? Kind of, we hear all this about Seattle being the 32nd team coming into, and you mentioned all the little deals that Vegas made to make them such a great team. Is it going to be different for Seattle? Are teams going to be a little more wary to make some of these deals? Is the rules will probably be similar due to the timing. They're not going to be far apart from when Vegas came into the league. But are teams going to be a little wary of this to not create maybe such a monster that they created with Vegas?
No question in my mind. Do you remember years ago in the NBA when some expansion teams came in and the Orlando Magic ended up with the first pick overall and got Shaquille O'Neal
yep.
and found yeah. themselves in the final a couple of seasons later? That infuriated teams around the NBA that, wait a second here, are you kidding me? They get a generational player right out of the gate and end up in the final. And, we hear in like Utah, the Utah Jazz, a good team for a long time. Are you kidding me? That's not going to happen anymore. And I think the exact same thing is going to happen here for Seattle. This is a great story, and I'm not saying it can't happen for Seattle, but I wouldn't be surprised if they tweak the expansion draft rules a little bit. And if teams around the NHL just kind of don't give up so much to protect guys that they, think they want to protect, like in the case of the Shea Theodore trade. They'll find a way around that. They will maybe take their chances and not give up two players to protect one or a pick to protect one. And because Vegas got a lot of picks as well, they're loaded with draft picks on top of all this. And they've got guys coming. Cody Glass is having a great year in the Western League, as you guys probably know. And they've got other draft picks coming, and they've got more picks to utilize in the upcoming draft. So, George McPhee, who is, a good hockey mind, has done an excellent job parlaying all that was at his disposal. And I don't think the same is going to happen for the next general manager, simply because as cool as this is to watch from afar and see the atmosphere and this team come together, and it's a great story. There's a lot of owners and other GMs who are gritting their teeth thinking, really? These guys walk in and they could get to the Western Conference Final at the very least, I think. They're that good, and there's no reason to think that they can't carry this momentum as far as it can go. So I'm not going to put any cap on it now, having seen them live. And I think you're onto something there. I think things are going to change next time around for the team coming in.
Yeah, I wonder, like we talk about the tests that the Golden Knights have had to endure and had to. The next one is you got the foot on the throat of the Los Angeles Kings. Can they do it, or are they going to need one more game, do you think? Because LA will have, they've done it before, so they're going to rally on that. Not a lot, very few teams have done it. Guys, we've done it. We've got some of those guys, it can be done. But can Vegas is going to have that one more ramp up to be able to beat LA at Staples Center to go four games, a sweep?
Killer
the Kings,
instinct now.
Unbelievable.
Step, yeah.
Like, do you think, like, they've passed every test so far, so, if you would have taken the odds of a four-game sweep for Vegas in the first round back in October?
Oh! We'd be living somewhere warmer, Kelly.
Oh, so much.
We'd be living
exactly.
somewhere
no
warmer.
No snow for us.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing. It's a real mental game at this point for LA, and it's good for them. They've got plenty of guys who are experienced veterans who know that it's just one period at a time, literally, not one game at a time. Now it's one period at a time, and the next three periods are at home. Now, keep in mind, home has not been a dominant place for the Kings of late and over their franchise history. They're barely over 500 on home ice over all the years. But still, having said that, they are home, and it's a great atmosphere here in L.A. You can say what you will about Vegas, and it is awesome, trust me. But L.A. is cool, too. I've always loved coming to watch games here, and in the playoffs, it's ramped up just like anywhere else. But consider this. Coming out of Las Vegas when it's 2-0, I was thinking in the back of my mind, well, Vegas is pretty darn good here. Maybe they could easily get a split on the road and go home. We could still see a long series. But imagine if L.A. wins Game 3 last night, and then they lose Game 4. They still have that split that we're talking. They're still going back 3-1. But right now, it feels a whole lot different just because the hole is that much bigger. Even though they could go back for Game 5, exactly in the same situation you thought maybe you would be facing anyhow. So, does that make any sense?
Yeah, it would be a total 3-1 after that feels different than being down 3-0 and then going 3-1.
Exactly. So if they can, you know, if they can get it back to back to Vegas, going down there 3-1 and then try to maybe score early and calm that crowd down. I mean, as much smoke as we're blowing here for Vegas, they're
still the Kings. They still got Jonathan Quick in net, right? So
Quick is good and I really think they're due to get some goals from their big guys and to fold in. Adrian Kempe's got a ton of speed and he's creating a lot of stuff. But I do think that Vegas really is feeling it up and down their lineup right now. So they're going to have to. There's going to have to be some significant drop off. But if it gets back to Game 5, it's one period of time. So we'll see. It's been a fun series to watch. It has not been as lopsided as the 3-0 series score would suggest, not by a long shot. It's been fun to watch, and I hope people are enjoying it.
Oh, yeah, we'll be watching tomorrow night for sure. You and Louie have been doing great down there, so we'll check you guys out, and we'll see what happens next Monday, what our conversation is going to be like. And, you know, are we talking about a series that's been extended, or are you talking about, you know, the Golden Knights good and rested? It's going to be interesting times to see what happens. But that's what we like about the first round of the playoffs, right? If your team's not in it, you look for storylines.
It is the best.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Dave. We appreciate it, and we'll be watching tomorrow night for sure.
Okay, boys.